Inka dinka, inka dinka, inka dinka do.
Music made by musicians for you to listen to.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. My name is John Lovering, and I thank you for listening to what I believe will be a very entertaining track for you. You know, with the holidays coming up, many of you may receive or perhaps are now in possession of one of the boxes of assorted chocolates. You know the ones of which I speak. Some of them may have a little chart showing you what kind of chocolate is in each individual compartment, but many brands do not, so it is pure luck as to whether you choose a chocolate that you will enjoy or one that you will pass off to the kids. Or dare I say, toss it away. Many of you will go to some extremes to try to figure out what the chocolate contains inside, and of course, the tried and true, albeit messy method, is simply to give the chocolate a good squeeze and hope that it does not contain a liquid center. If you squeeze it gently, crack the chocolate shell and peer inside, and if it looks or smells like something you do not care to eat, simply slide the chocolate back into the box with the now fractured side down, and hope someone else will not notice your thumb and fingerprint embedded in the wall of the chocolate coating. However you do it, the one thing you will learn is that an assorted box of chocolates has some really good tasting chocolates, some so-so chocolates, and a fair share of No Way Jose chocolates. What does all this have to do with Heirloom Radio? Well, on this podcast, I have a large assortment of radio shows for your listening pleasure, and I'm about to squeeze them and let you know what is inside. I hope that you will choose to partake most, if not all, of my assorted programs. Now, let me see here. Squeezing this show. Okay, the original broadcast date is oozing out. Okay, June 23rd, 1941. And I can hear a little hint of the program through the crack. There's music. Yes, there's music. Dixieland music. And there's something else there. Comedy. Yes, definitely comedy. All right. This program is entitled The Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street. All right. Now, if you like New Orleans Dixieland music, then you'll love this 30-minute program from the NBC Radio Network. It features the bands of Henry Levine and Paul LaValle, vocals by Diane Courtney with such hosts as Gino Longlocks Hamilton and Giacomo Satchel Trousers McCarthy. Everyone in the program is jokingly addressed as either professor or doctor, obviously a wanton attempt to give the impression that they have a certain lofty, highbrow place in society. However, Gene Hamilton contradicts this image when he states that the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street is out to give culture its lumps, which it does in a very delightfully musical and humorous way. So if you want to experience a laugh-filled fun time that was enjoyed by millions of radio listeners in 1941, the Chamber Music Society of Low and Basin Street will not disappoint you. The show's guest is Gertrude Nielsen. Let's listen.
Greetings, music lovers. And if we've been canceled again and you're not hearing this, please don't tell us. This is your chairman, Dr. Gino Longlocks Hamilton, presiding at another concert of the no doubt world-renowned Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street, whose members are dedicated to the preservation of the three B's, Barrel House, Boogie Woogie, and the Blues. Tonight we are honored to have with us a group of very famous musical classicists, all of whom are out to give culture its lumps. Our conductors are Dr. Henry Hotlips Levine with his Off the Cob Octet and Maestro Paul LaValle with his 10 sap-happy woodwinds. And tonight, by the way, they are repeating Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf. The wolf, incidentally, is not Dr. Levine. Our guest commentator is Dr. Will S. Scott of Princeton. And our vocal soloist is Mademoiselle Diane Courtney of New York's swanky Sutton Place. Correction, it seems she's from Hut Sutton Place in Weehawken. As special guests, Charles Magnante's accordion quartet, four of the world's greatest accordionists. According to some famous musicologists, that's four too many. But the house lights are fading now. Dr. Levine is mounting the podium and adjusting his spurs. The overture, Black Eyes. Introducing the brilliant young American coloratura, Mademoiselle Diane Courtney, we quote from the New Yorker magazine, which in turn was quoting from the Victor Record catalog. Enlisting the various recordings of an aria from La Bohème, the catalog says, Que gelida manina, thy hand is frozen, sung by Bürling. Que gelida manina, your hand is frozen, sung by Gigli. Que gelida manina, your tiny hand is frozen, sung by Ciliani. Que gelida manina, thy tiny hands are frozen, sung by Caruso. To which the New Yorker adds, quote, Listen, the dame's mitts are cold, see? Unquote. Mademoiselle Courtney now brings us the recitative or drinking song from the opera Barmen, Rockin' Chair.
Chairs got me, came by my side. Fetch me that gin, son, for I tan your hide. Can't get from this cabin, ain't going nowhere. Just sit me here grabbing at the flies round my rocking chair. My dear old Aunt Harriet, in heaven she be. Send me, sweet chariot, for the end of the trouble I see. Oh, rocking chair gets it. Judgment Day is here. Chained to my rocking chair. Oh, my dear old Aunt Harriet, how long in heaven she be? I see, oh, rocking chair gets it, Judgment Day is here, chained to my rocking chair. Maestro
Paul Lavelle first presented Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf some months ago. Many of you have asked to hear it again. We are repeating it now, and we are happy to announce that at our concert next week, the musicians being available, the maestro will repeat his own narrative musical work, The Bullfrog and the Robin, the double jazz concerto for piccolo and contrabassoon. As you all know, Prokofiev wrote Peter and the Wolf for 110 musicians. So tonight, Maestro Lavelle's 10 woodwinds will have to play 11 times as hard. Here is Maestro Paul Lavelle's bargain basement version of Sergei Sergeyevich Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, with your chairman as narrator. This is the way the story goes. Early one morning, Peter opened the gate and went out on a big green meadow. On the branch of a big tree sat a little bird. All is quiet, piped the bird gaily. Soon a duck came waddling around. She decided to take a swim in the deep pond in the meadow. Seeing the duck, the little bird flew down upon the grass. "What kind of bird are you if you can't fly?" said she. To this, the duck replied, "What kind of bird are you if you can't swim?" They argued and argued, the duck swimming in the pond, the little bird hopping along the shore. Suddenly, something caught Peter's attention. He noticed a cat crawling softly through the grass. "Look out," shouted Peter, and the bird flew up into the tree. While the duck quacked angrily at the cat. Grandpapa came out. He was angry. If a wolf should come out of the forest, then what would you do? Peter paid no attention. He wasn't afraid of wolves. Grandfather led Peter home. No sooner had Peter gone than a big gray wolf came out of the forest. Stealthily, the cat climbed up the tree. The duck quacked and jumped out of the pond. But no matter how hard the duck tried to run, she couldn't escape the wolf. He was getting nearer, nearer, catching up with her. And then he got her. And with one gulp, he swallowed her. In the meantime, Peter stood behind the closed gate, watching. He took a strong rope and climbed up the high stone wall. One of the branches of the tree around which the wolf was walking stretched out over the wall. Grabbing hold of the branch, Peter climbed out onto the tree. Peter said to the bird, "Fly down and circle around the wolf's head." The bird almost touched the wolf's head with her wings, while the wolf snapped angrily at her from this side and that. How the bird did worry the wolf, how he wanted to catch her, but the wolf simply couldn't do anything about it. Meanwhile, Peter made a lasso and slowly let it down. He caught the wolf by the tail and pulled with all his might. Feeling himself caught, the wolf began to jump wildly, trying to get loose. The wolf's jumping only made the rope around its tail tighter. Just then, the hunters came out of the woods, following the wolf's trail and shooting as they came. But Peter said, "Don't shoot. Birdie and I have already caught the wolf. Now help us take him to the zoo." Imagine the triumphant procession. Peter at the head, followed by Grandfather and the cat, and bringing up the rear, the hunters, leading the wolf. Commentator, the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street is privileged to present the distinguished musicologist and Princeton postgraduate, Dr. Will S. Scott. Dr. Scott has just returned from delivering the baccalaureate address at the conservatory conducted by the brothers Rimsky and Korsakov, specializing in clavichord and beaver board. Here is Dr. Scott.
Thank you, Dr. Hamilton. Tonight, I should like to honor our guests of honor by delving into the history of the accordion. The accordion, by the way, is a right-handed instrument. That is, the keyboard is manipulated with the right hand. Since there are no left-handed accordions, a left-handed accordion player is unfortunately forced to play by standing on his head. Recently, I conducted a poll to discover the nation's favorite instrument. Out of 5,000 persons asked, 4,000 answered, "The Chinese gourd." 999 answered, "How do you spell it?" One answered, "The accordion," a gentleman living in Afterbeat Falls, Montana, by the name of Dr. Pinchbeak Smelly. That the accordion is universally acclaimed is shown by these tabulations, according to the polls. Now, before continuing, I should like to ask one of our guests to illustrate the tonal clarity of the accordion. Professor, if you please. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, Dr. Scott.
Now, an accordion that is taken care of will develop a good set of lungs, provided the oil is changed every 500 miles. And it has been truly said that no instrument sounds better underwater. A large tank has been transported into the concert hall tonight. One of our guests is about to descend into the tank. He, by the way, has squeezed in and out so much that he has developed gills and is now half mackerel. Ah, there he goes. Now, Professor, if you can hear me, please sound a note on the accordion. Thank you, Professor. He doesn't answer. Thank you, Professor. Dear me, I lose more assistance that way. Excuse me a moment while I dive in and see about him.
Thank you, Dr. Will S. Scott.
Thank you, Dr. Hamilton.
After such a glowing report, we're sure you are anxious to hear Dr. Charles Magnotti's famous accordion quartet. First, however, we are to hear from Mademoiselle Diane Courtney, as one of the accordionists is now being run through the ringer. Mademoiselle Diane Courtney interprets an aria about Nellie Bly, an extremely warm personality noted for her ability to hand men the hot foot. Nellie Bly.
Nellie Bly, Nellie Bly, bring the broom along. Sweep the kitchen clean, my dear, and have a little song. Poke the wood, lady love, make the fire burn. While I take the banjo down, give the mush a turn. Ah, Nellie, oh, Nellie, listen, love, to me. I'll sing for you, play for you a dulcet melody. Nellie Bly, Nellie Bly, never, never sigh. Never bring a teardrop to the corner of your eye. Nellie Bly, don't you cry, never wear a frown. Where you are, there's music there in that part of town. Hi, Nellie, oh, 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 Nellie, listen, love, to me. I'll sing for you, la, ya, ya, and Paul will play for you. Hi, boys.
Hi, Nell.
We'll sing and jive for Nell.
Now, our guests of honor, the world-famous Charles Magnotti Accordion Quartet. As you all know, the accordion is called by most persons a squeeze box, and by most musicians a stone crusher. In the hands of a master, it becomes a great musical instrument, and the members of the Magnotti Quartet are known to be four of the world's greatest accordionists. This fact was proven at their Carnegie Hall recital, which drew exceedingly high praise from New York's major critics. In the quartet are Professors Charles Magnotti, Gene von Holberg, John Serry, and Abe Goldman. And their first selection is to be a work by Bach. As you all know, it is the fashion these days to swing the works of the old masters. Therefore, we offer the very rare treat of a Bach work just as it was written, unadorned and completely barefooted. The Magnotti Quartet playing Bach's Little Fugue, the fugue in G minor. Thank you. As an encore, the Charles Magnante Accordion Quartet interprets Professor Magnante's own great popular work, Accordiana. Dr. Henry Hotlips Levine now brings us his reading of the Dixieland getaway, Fletcher's Folly. This work is so named because it was written by the noted trombonist, Professor Fletch Filburn, better known in upper music circles as Satchel Pants. The work was written for bass trumpet, so tonight, for some unknown reason, it will feature the clarinet. Strange things happen in our instrumentation. This instrument, as you know, in our group is played by Professor Alfred Lewis Evans. Listen also for solos on trumpet by Dr. Levine, on tenor saxophone by Professor Rudolph Amadeus Adler, and on trombone by Professor Jacques Davide Epstein, whose first name, Jacques, as we have said, is spelled J-E-R-Q-U-E. Here is Fletcher's Folly.
Thank you.
And so, music lovers, we have tweezed the eyebrows on another one. Next week at this time, the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street hopes you will join us for another concert. At that time, we will present all our regulars, and as our extra special guest, we will present Dr. Thomas Dorsey, playing his famous trombone. We've been informed by the vice president in charge of persuasion that between now and next Monday, Dr. Dorsey may be prevailed upon to also kick out on a trumpet. Until then, we adjourn.
Your chairman of the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street, as usual, has been Dr. Gino Longlocks Hamilton. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
And that concludes this track of Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program with yours truly, John Lovering. This podcast originates on SoundCloud.com, but can also be heard on iTunes and Google Play. Just go to iTunes or Google Play and search for Heirloom Radio. That's Heirloom, H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M, Radio. I also invite you to visit my Heirloom Radio Facebook page at facebook.com/Heirloom Radio. And be sure to check out my ever-growing list of old radio programming from every genre, from musicals to quiz shows and everything in between. And please tell your friends about Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. And I thank you for listening. Stay safe and be well.